Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I work down in the basement while I'm preparing my messages, or I sometimes work from home, and I'll come upstairs and I'll ask my wife, "Did you miss me?" Because I knew where you were all the time. Well, did you miss me?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to, we went away and got some, lots of good stuff done, had some good time together with our Florida grandchildren and children. And it was a good time away, but I'm glad I'm home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight I've got an old-fashioned Bible study for you. The one true God. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. By the way, did you notice that beautiful look and flow of young people going out of here? Man, I think that class is bigger than this one. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20, it says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Tonight's topic is the one true God. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love You. I thank You. We ask even now that, Lord, Yourself, Lord, is identified in Scripture. Lord, it is a thing to be clearly seen. Lord, I know it's a mystery to many, but Lord, thank You for revealing it. Thank You for letting us know You, for letting us see You in the Word, for understanding who You are. Thank You, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, I pray Your blessing on this service tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We had just went through on Tuesday the beginning in our end time series, the salvation package. Brother, the late, Irvin Baxter. Thank you very much. The late Brother Irvin Baxter. It's one that he put together a few years ago. And we're looking at that on Tuesday nights now. On Sunday, we do plan to do, because I missed 2 weeks, so the lesson number 14, the final lesson of the end time, understanding the end time series. We'll be doing that at my house on Sunday. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this question, one true God. To me, you see, I was raised in the United Pentecostal Church. So, apostolic, one God, Jesus' name, Jesus is the everything, has been my understanding since I was sleeping under the pew. It's been my whole life. It's been no other understanding. In fact, my mind just doesn't even comprehend any other interpretation of understanding. It just doesn't make sense to me. But I realize that's a gift from God. I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. I was blessed to go to church as a child, an apostolic Jesus name, one God church. And, you know, for me, it's clearly seen, like the scripture said. But Brother Baxter on Tuesday was saying, great is the mystery of godliness. And it's been a topic of discussion between men since man was almost. I mean, for thousands of years, many different multiple views and aspects of God and who God is and the opinions about God and the philosophies about God, the theology of God, the doctrine, the teaching of the Word. It's not a new phenomenon. It's not a new thing in our day. It's been a question before men for a long, long time. And it's still a question in our society today. Everybody wasn't blessed like I was to be raised in it and to be taught it as a child and, you know, to have a long understanding of who God is. I realize, in fact, if you realize who God is, I hope you treasure it. I hope you hold it in a high regard, that it's not a small thing to know who God is. There is nobody on earth that could come to me or convince me of any other belief other than that Jesus is God. Amen. It's just, you know, from the bottom to the top and every piece of me in between. Amen. But everybody in our society is not like that. Men have discussed the deity of God for thousands of years. Job is considered to be one of the oldest characters in the Bible. He lived before the writing of the first five books of the Old Testament. He lived before the time of the prophets. He, like, predates the writing of the Bible. And in exasperation, in a desperation, it seems like Job declared in Job 23, verse 3, Oh, that I knew where I might find him, looking for God, that I might come even to his seat. Man, I want to go right where God is. Amen. I want to find him. I want to know about him. I want to understand who he is. It was Job's desire. Study the book of Job. It's a great resource. He asked the questions that people are asking today. Way, way, way back then. Who is God? Where is God? What is God's name? And how many gods are there? Those are not new questions. No, it's one thing. You know, James is privileged. I was raised like James is. You know, it's the only truth. It's the only doctrine. It's the only teaching that he has ever known. Hallelujah. It's a high privilege to understand who God is, and even a better thing to know it as a child. Amen. I speak from experience. And no matter where it is that you come to this great one God revelation, it's a privilege. Amen. You see, lots of people in our world are still asking those same questions. Man's opinion or traditions. My family. I have a long heritage of being something else. Catholic or Baptist or Buddhist or Hindu or Islamic or whatever. You know, some other religion. Other than Jesus' name, apostolic, one God. And I have to say, it's not only the United Pentecostal Church. But there is only one truth. And Jesus is God. Amen. Not your opinion, not traditions, not teachings. It's not in denominations. You see, they will not suffice. They will not be sufficient to fill the hunger that is in a true seeker's heart to understand God. Truth can only be found in the book of truth, the Word of God. Amen. It's a precious book. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So it doesn't matter where in the world you are, there's still this one truth. Jesus is the Almighty God. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it admonishes us, it tells us, it instructs us. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." I hope that you know that Jesus is God. And I hope you know how to show somebody in the Bible who Jesus is. Praise the Lord. So when you or I, when we search for the answers in the Bible about God, the Bible is the only place that we should look. Men have written, in fact, it was holy men of old that wrote as God moved upon them by the Holy Ghost to write these words. So yes, these words were penned by men under the inspiration of God. Lots of other books on religion. You go to a bookstore, there's a whole section on religious books. There'll be hundreds of religious books in any bookstore. But this is the book that we need to find Jesus in. Amen. Who God is, where He can be found, and what His name is, the answers are in the Word of truth. John chapter 5, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." Amen. Praise the Lord. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, he lived between 1834 and 1892, long ago, and he served as pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. He wrote this: "The proper study of a Christian is the Godhead, the highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the intention of a child of God is the name, the person, the work, the doings, the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father." I want to know Jesus. Man, I want to know all about him. I want to know what he likes, what he dislikes. I want to know what he favors, what he disfavors. I want to know what his opinion is. I want to know what is good and what is bad. I want to know him as closely as I can. See, the best place to start our search, in fact, a really great place, is at the very beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Straightforward, plain to see. I hope, I would pray that people could understand it. Before there was anything, before there was any existence of anything, there was God. And God spoke into creation those things that are. He made the heavens also. It's almost like a side note in the Bible. They're still trying to figure out what's out there. Who knows? Maybe they'll find a bigger telescope to look even further. But God made it. Amen. Our English word for quote-unquote G-O-D, God, used in this verse, in the beginning, God. The English word God used in this verse is from the Hebrew word Elohim. Because in the Hebrew text, Elohim denotes a plurality. English example would be of a plurality, like in this use would be teeth or feet. Many have incorrectly interpreted the word Elohim to mean more than one God. If you truly understand who God is, and I hope by the end of this lesson, you'll understand a little more. If you were confused, I hope you will not be. The word Elohim refers to the plurality of the attributes of God. Not plurality of gods. Not that there's a number of gods. No, there's one God that does lots of stuff. There's one God that fills lots of offices. Amen. It's not a plurality of persons in a Godhead. Smith's Bible Dictionary, page number 212-213, it talks about Elohim. It says the plural form of Elohim has risen to much discussion. The fanciful idea that it refers to a trinity of persons in the Godhead hardly finds support among scholars. It is referenced to as the plurality of majesty, or the sum of all powers displayed by God, or it denotes the fullness of his divine strength. The name is never applied to a false god, or to any other being existent or except the one true God, Jehovah, who is therefore marked as one with God, and who appears in the New Testament as one God manifest in the flesh. Amen. I wish they would have said Jesus. But they were on the right track. They were on the right track. I have to give them that. Amen. So we understand that the Scripture does not teach the concept of three gods. It's just not anywhere in this holy book. It's not there. It does not say there's three gods. It says there's one God. And nor does it teach three separate and distinct persons in a Godhead. That is not in this book. Amen. What the Bible does expressly teach, Isaiah 44, verse number 8, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Put very simply, the Word of God explicitly teaches that there are three manifestations of one God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Brother Baxter was teaching on that in the fellowship hall on Tuesday by video. God was, number one, manifest in the flesh. That was Jesus Christ. Number two, justified in the spirit. That was Jesus Christ. Number three, seen of angels. Jesus. Four, preached unto the Gentiles. It was Jesus. Five, believed on in the world. It is Jesus. Received up into glory. It was Jesus. Amen. Use this verse. So you can't know about the Godhead because it's a mystery. I have to agree with Brother Baxter. A mystery is something that some people do not understand. It's a mystery to some. But a mystery, if you read the back of the book, normally you find out what's the answer to the mystery. Amen. It can be known. In fact, the Bible only teaches that Jesus is God. Amen. There is no other God. He's God in creation when He spoke it into existence. He's God when He robed Himself in flesh and came to earth and gave His own life for sin. He is God when He fills people with the Holy Ghost in the water. Right? It's the same God. It's the same God. There's lots of names in the... He's lots of titles, if you will. Lots of offices for God in Scriptures. Let me rattle off a few of them. It refers to God, the Redeemer, Most High God, Everlasting God, God of Heaven, God of Earth, the Mighty God, the I Am, the God of Gods, the Eternal God, the Living God, God my Rock, my Strength, the Only Lord God, High Tower, Strong Tower, Lord God Omnipotent, Lord God, God of all flesh, God of judgment, the Great Healer, the God of patience, God of hope, God of peace, God of comfort, God of love, King of kings, Lord of lords, the great God, my buckler, Lord God Almighty, the horn of salvation, the God of salvation. He does a lot of stuff. And that's not even a quarter of it. I could have read all 248, but let me stop there. You get the idea. Praise God. There are 6 Hebrew words, 1 Greek word used for God. And forgive me if my Hebrew or my Greek is not up to par. Elohim, plurality of majesty. Jehovah, the self-existent or eternal one. El, which is strength, the mighty one, almighty, the most high God. Eloah, deity, God, the divine one. Elah, the strong God. Tesur, rock, refuge. Theos, which is Greek, deity, the supreme God. Each of them is only one. And God's Jesus Christ is all of them. They are referring to Jesus. Amen. You've heard the title Jehovah and then other stuff. There are 18 Jehovahs that I've found, the titles in the Bible. Jehovah Adonai, the Lord, our sovereign master. Jehovah Elohe, the Lord, my God. Jehovah Elohinu, the Lord, our God. Jehovah Elhika, the Lord, thy God. Jehovah Elohim, the eternal creator. Jehovah Elyon. Jehovah Most High God. Jehovah, how do you say that one? G-M-O-L. Gamola. God of recompense. Jehovah Hosinu. The Lord our maker. Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Amen. I was going to point out Sister Janie, but she's in the other room. She was so excited today coming to church. God provided my need right when I needed it. She was so excited. You get excited when God provides your need? Right? I mean, right when you need it? Oh, my. He is my provider. Jehovah Mekah, Jehovah that smites, Jehovah Makadesh, Jehovah that does sanctify you, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah my banner, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, and then Rohi, Jehovah that healeth thee, Jehovah Sabaoth, Jehovah of hosts, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah send peace, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah is there, Jehovah Tiskenu, Jehovah our righteousness. Now, just because they got 18 different names for the great and wonderful and glorious things that God does, doesn't mean that there's 18 gods. It's one God. His name is Jesus. Amen. A lot of talking. Praise the Lord. You see, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Amen. Follow closely as I direct a comparison between the Old Testament and New Testament references. There can only be one Almighty God. Genesis chapter 17, verse number 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 2, 3, and verse number 8. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about him. The throne in sight was like unto an emerald. And the fourth beast had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and is to come. One Almighty God. There can only be one Savior of the world. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse number 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. That's pretty clear. I'd say that says it right where I can understand it. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. It's talking about Jesus. There can only be one Creator of all things. Isaiah chapter 44, verse number 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, and stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Isaiah is claiming God made everything all by himself. There's one Creator. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 16, New Testament. It's going to say the same thing. There's one Creator. For by Him, Colossians 1, 16. For by Him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Praise the Lord. It's for Jesus. There can only be one God. Now, this just makes sense, right? If there is an all-powerful God, then that one God has all, underline, make them all capital letters, slant them a little bit, and put an underline under them. He's got all the power. Amen. There can only be one God with all power. Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 12. Thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If you consider everything in the entirety of the earth and everything that's not on the earth, that's everything. God made it. God spoke it into existence. He has all power. God has power to give life. And that's why we're breathing. Because God was merciful enough unto us to give us life. Amen. See, there can only be one. Only one can be the great I Am. Old Testament, New Testament, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. It was an explanation to the children of Israel referring to God. He is the great I Am. Amen. In John chapter 8, verses 58 and 59, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You know, they wanted to stone him for those words. How could you be before Abraham? And you're not even 50 years old. Man, they were mad, 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 mad. Some people still get mad if you tell them Jesus is God. That don't change it. Jesus is still God. Even if somebody gets mad, the truth is the truth, whether if you believe it or not. I just happen to want to believe the truth. I want to believe what the Bible says. It is truth. Amen. Before Abraham was, I am. They took up stones to cast. They were going to kill him for those words. They were so mad. You know, we should note, the Jews who heard Jesus say, before Abraham was, he said, I am. They understood that he was claiming himself to be God. And that's why they got so mad. And it was just a It was just Jesus telling them who he is. Don't get mad if you get, you know, if you read the scriptures, don't get mad at the scriptures. If you hear preaching and it's from the Word of God, if what I say is there in Scripture, then don't get mad at me. Amen. It's Scripture. There can only be one first and last. Isaiah chapter 44, verse number 6, Old Testament. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. I like it when Scripture is crispy, when it's so clear that it's hard to be misunderstood. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus said, fear not, I am the first and the last. He was identifying himself to be the fulfillment of what Isaiah had prophesied. Jesus was before creation ever existed, and Jesus will be when time is no more. Amen. He's the first. He's the last. It's Jesus. Scripture declares over 300 times that there is but one God. Let me use some of them. I can't do all of them, but I can do some of them. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 3. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Isaiah 43, verse 11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Isaiah 49, verse 26. I'm just reading the middle part of that verse. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One. Isaiah 54 and verse number 5. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Amen. Everything belongs to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 60, verse 16. Thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One. Zechariah 14, verse number 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Malachi 2, verse 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Mark chapter 12, verse 32. There is one God, and there is none other but He. Over and over and over, you can find There's one God. Romans chapter 3, verse number 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. One God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 4. There is none other God but one. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. There is but one God. Excuse me. My wife and I have the sinus thing going on, and if I talk a lot, it gets to me. Where did I go? Ephesians 4, verse number 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Praise the Lord. James chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Let me raise my hand. I'll raise my hand. I believe there is one God. Amen. Thou doest well. And the devils also believe and tremble. Praise the Lord. Bottom line here is, do we believe men or the Word of God? Man has all kinds of philosophies. You could go to lots of different religious facilities all around our own community. And it should be that Jesus is being preached in every single one of them. In fact, I pray that God would give a revelation. In fact, there is going to be an end time revival where people are going to recognize who Jesus is. I believe there's going to be people that you never thought of. They're going to have a revelation of who Jesus is. They're going to understand, oh, it's talking about Jesus. You know what? I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. There is one true God. Man's philosophies. Oh, I can believe what I believe, and you believe what you believe, and we're all going to heaven. That is a lie from the pits of hell. We got to believe that Jesus is God, and you got to obey what He says. Amen. There is a plan of salvation. It's right there. We got it hanging on our back wall. Repent, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's God's plan, not man's philosophies. Don't be confused by the masses. In some of the end time, a previous end time teaching on Tuesday night, they were going over the religions of the world are going to come together. They're going to come in agreement. I agree. They should all be in agreement that Jesus is God. But that's not what they're agreeing on. You should hear the lesson. Come to the end time Bible study. The religions of our world are saying, doesn't matter, you call your God your name, and I'll call my God my name, but it's all the same one God, and we all are going to, you know, it's all this mess. This, oh, I'm all right, and you're all right, and everybody's all right. No. We all need to believe in Jesus. We all need to obey that plan of salvation. We all need to live a godly life. Amen. Ignore the philosophies of men. Look into the scriptures yourself. Find it. Know it. Cherish it. Deliberately. I've tried to leave the words out. Well, it's in my opinion. No, it's more. Yes, I do believe that Jesus is God. That is my opinion. I'm not disputing that. But it's the Word of God. I want to believe the Word of God. It's more than just the teachings of the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. Now, I love my brethren. I think we're in a wonderful organization. I want to be a part of this fellowship of believers. Amen. I feel like I'm privileged to be a part of it, to be a contributor to it, to help it to be successful and prosperous. Amen. But that's not the reason. It's because of Jesus. I need a relationship with Jesus. Amen. Now, I've read lots of scriptures, gave you lots of names, and you're welcome to my notes. But we got to check on it ourselves. Amen. Would you stand with me? I don't know how I went through 35 slides in 35 minutes. But I did. In there, in that back room where we teach the elements, session number one, or I guess three is taught over there too, right? Where in that classroom, right up on the stage, there's a sign on the wall. Which, by the way, I don't know if there's somebody that's a good woodworker that could make me a frame, a nice frame for that sign. I think it's a great sign. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." It's called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. If you're thankful for that revelation, would you thank Him right now with me? Lord, I love You. I thank You. Lord, it is You, Jesus, that is worthy and wonderful. It is You, Lord, that is altogether able. It is You, Jesus, that God, give us this wonderful truth. It's You, Lord. It's You, Lord. It's You, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's You in the beginning. It's You right now. And it's You at the end. Jesus, it's You that I thank and I worship. Jesus, I love You. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm letting you go way early. There's young people's class and elements class, and they're going to run until 8:30. So please don't get me in trouble with my teachers and you go in there and disrupt their students while they're still in the class. Hang out for a little while. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.